probably several minutes, so we could probably get going if everyone's ready.
I think we're ready. Yeah, we're here. Let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. Could we get a roll call?
Yes. Blythe? Cathedral City?
Cathedral City.
Coachella? Desert Hot Springs?
All right, Coachella's here.
Coachella's here, yeah.
Okay. Desert Hot Springs? Indian Wells? Indio?
Oh, Sarah's not here.
La Quinta?
Here.
Palm Desert?
Here.
Palm Springs?
Here.
Rancho Mirage?
She'll be here in a little bit.
Riverside County?
Here.
Agua Caliente? And Cabazon. And we do have a quorum.
Perfect.
Great. We're going to move on to public comment. Any person wishing to address the Solid Waste and Recycling Technical Working Group on items appearing on this agenda may do so at this time. Please limit comments to 3 minutes at the discretion of the chair. Additional public comment time and or opportunities during the meeting may be granted.
I don't think we didn't receive any public comments, so I don't think we have any.
Mm-hmm. No. Perfect. So now we're moving on to working group member and CVAG staff comments.
So I had just already announced that we're taking these to the more informal process that we had before. So that's the only thing I had to report. Any other, no other comments from working group members?
Benjamin, is there anything officially we need to do to make that happen, or is it just happen?
No, it'll just be once the executive committee votes for that, then it's done.
Okay. And how frequently will those meetings be occurring then?
So that will be kind of to be determined as well. It depends on the need or the topics that come up that we need to address. If there's something pressing like this 1383 that we've been discussing, then we'll have maybe more meetings than regular. We'll try to meet at least quarterly for now. But if we don't feel the need for that, and we'll just say, hey, we'll, you know, postpone this meeting until the next time. So it's just as need basis.
Okay. Sarah did ask me to bring up one thing. She just wanted us to maybe think about it. We could talk about it in our next meeting, which will be a little more informal, but she like Palm Desert is feeling a lot of pressure to implement from CalRecycle to implement the bundled rates and basically just drop off carts to everybody who's required to have them. And they want it done like yesterday. And they're really in their plans for 1826, it feels like they're accepting little less than that. So she was really feeling like that's unfair to some small businesses who are recycling in other ways and wouldn't need to then pay for all of these carts, and wanted to the group to consider other options, or maybe share other options they've considered for allowing certain businesses to opt out and verify that they are zero waste, or, you know, some other sort of method to do so. I'm sure nobody has an answer for that today, but I want to at least throw that out there on her behalf so we can maybe be prepared to talk about it in our next working group meeting. That would be great.
Okay. And that would be something Cathedral City would like to address too. And I don't know that locally we could address it, but if we put something together to maybe take it up the ladder, we could, because that's this whole, it not exempt, this exempt where you can exempt the customer, but then you have to follow up with them within so many years, and then you have to get them in compliance. I would like to argue there should be an exempt where they're, if they're already a zero waste, if they're already doing something on site. So I would concur with that, that we need to discuss it.
Okay.
Great. Any other comments from the group?
I did have, this is Maritza with Coachella. Good morning, everyone. I was wondering, when we met last, I know with 1383 now, like here, essentially, we had discussed reaching out to Fine Food to see if we can collaboratively create an agreement so that they can be all of our providers and we don't all reach out to find food bank independently. I think it would be, I think they would welcome the collaborative approach as opposed to being hit up individually, because we're all going to approach them probably.
Okay. I'll reach out to Find Food Bank and see if we can get them maybe to join us at our next meeting so we can all talk with them about it, collaborative effort.
Thank you.
You bet.
Perfect. I did also did an initial outreach to them, and they are very interested in talking to us as a group and doing a regional approach. So they are very, very open to that, and they want that as well.
Thank you for that update. Thank you.
Also, I'm sorry, we don't have a quorum. We need one more to be able to do the consent calendar.
Okay, we can come back to that if Tiana logs in.
With no further comments, let's go ahead and move on to discussion items. We can still do those, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Well, actually the election of the chair and vice chair, since we don't have the quorum, we probably should wait for that one too. Okay,
perfect, let's wait for that. Then we can just go ahead and move on to item B, discussion of SB 1383 and food rescue donation with Clara Vera from Burtech. Go ahead.
Hi, well, good morning, everyone. Like I said, I'm here with Mike. We're hanging out in the office, socially distanced. I happen to have a lot of cupcakes here, so I'm delighted to share my birthday with the entire CDAG informal formal committee. I'm hearing two different things. So it's been a pleasure to look at your agendas and get familiar with the group. I'm Clara Vera. I'm very recent to Burtech. I come from some areas of the West. I hold a dual bachelor's master's program from Cal State. So I'm a Coyote for life. It's an absolute pleasure to be a part of the Burtech Waste and Recycling Services family, and an even more pleasure to be a part of this extraordinary time for the Coachella Valley region as a whole, and be that team member in driving these initiatives. And I hear the echoes. I've had plenty of individual calls and catch-ups with everybody here. So I hear the comments from CalRecycle, and I think that's going to be one of the things that I'd welcome the opportunity to drive, is that it's really important for us to understand the entire complexity of SB 1383 and, you know, the goals, the state goals versus jurisdictional goals, and really understanding what that means for us individually as jurisdictions, and really understanding what those timelines mean and how we're going to hit those marks. So I did hear a couple of the comments. I'm going to try to share my screen. I did a very general presentation just to kind of capture some of the enhancements that Burtech is currently making and continuing to make, just to kind of do a brief overview of the services and kind of approach it that way. And then we can have kind of an informal, as Benjamin kindly introduced me over email, kind of where we're at. What does SB 1383 mean for all of us together as a region, but most importantly, what that means for us in our business communities, specific for each city. So again, I think the championed approach is to look at items such as the food, edible food recovery items, comprehensively as a region. But again, there are going to be some things that are specific to each one of the communities. Every community is specific. It's unique. Every community, business community, is facing different challenges that might come from demographics, economical hardships, different facets of what your business community looks like, business owners, education, how we're going to introduce education to them. So there is a lot of things that we want to look at as a region, but I also think that it's very important that you know, reaching out to the Food Fine Bank. I know we have our friends from WRCOG here who I've had the pleasure of working with in the past who have brought in an outstanding organization such as OC Waste Not, which is an incredible organization doing an incredible amount of things. And it also is an incredible amount of resources, revenue, and other items that should that be the place that we head into, those are all the items that we will need to consider as we prepare that to ensure them that we can have fine food banks or some of the other local food, edible food recovery places so that they're armed and ready and have the tools to provide us the reporting, to provide us the communications that we will need eventually as jurisdictions to report back. So there is a lot of items that are very good in theory. It just, I think there's a good opportunity for us to ensure that when we get to that point that individually we would be able to still get garner and gain that reporting, because ultimately, as our friends over at CalRecycle have made it very clear, the jurisdictions all are responsible for their own jurisdictions. So I think that's very important. So without further ado, I'll go through this relatively quick. I could talk trash till I'm gray in the hair and I'm already kind of there. So I will go ahead and share my screen. And if you give me a second here.
And for the record, Tiana has just joined us, so now we are quarant.
Okay, did you guys want me to hold off and I can...
No, yeah, we can go ahead and proceed and then we'll go back to the other items.
Okay, and so is everybody, can everybody see my refresh screen here?
Yep.
Okay, wonderful. So again, this approach of this presentation is really just to kind of take a global look at how we're approaching this, 2021 and how we're enhancing a lot of our programs and our collateral and really redefining the way that we are providing outreach to our businesses. And it is proving to be quite successful. We have had some great conversations, even in the midst of this unprecedented time. We've had some businesses who have called us back and said they really appreciated, us, being able to provide the education, the modified programs, the waste assessments, right sizing. And so I think this is part of that good faith effort that we continue to showcase to the state of California and to our businesses that we're not just going to drop off a barrel and make people recycle organics, but it's more than that. It's how do we create a lifelong opportunity to teach people that this is the new norm and how to do it correctly so that we are increasing our diversion rates over the time. So with that said, I'll go ahead and go on. Our strengths, we offer customized commercial services that are tailored to meet our every business profile. We understand that every community and every business is unique. Our region also is, and I'm going to drive this because it is exclusive to our region, and we are very fortunate to have one here local in our region. We have a local organics processing facility, and that is a major win for us because we're keeping our organics here local. We're keeping our items local, and this is really going to be tenfold when we're implementing different items of SB 1383. But most importantly, we have a region that's very fruitful. We have an agricultural community. We have a special events community that's all processing their organics here locally. And that to me is a big win. I hope to really advocate for 2021 and do some presentations there, host some different, we have a host of different items that we're looking at doing there. So again, keep that in your tool pockets. That is exclusive to our region. It is really beneficial to allowing us to create those implementation plans because we do have a local facility here. what is our goal? At Vertec exclusively, our goal is not just to provide the trash and recycling services, but ultimately we want to encourage every community member to be environmental stewards of the communities we serve. And what does that mean? That means that we don't just want people just to have, you know, just to go out to their bin and drop off their trash, or, you know, to just dump their cardboard. No, we want to make sure that people are flattening the cardboard, that they're disposing of the items correctly, that they're reducing the illegal dumping happening across our region, that they're really embracing what that means to live zero food waste kind of life, learn how to compost, maybe how to garden. And so really to encompass the beauty of our region by championing businesses and residents now with SB 1383 to be environmental stewards. So what are our opportunities? And I think this is very special to me. And this is one of the reasons why choosing Vertec as a place where I call my home now was very important to me. So for us at Vertec, we really understand what our communities are being faced with. We know that the state diversion goals are being very aggressively approached in the conversations with all of us. And we are here to meet each one of those milestones and enhance the recycling program. So again, we know that this is a very difficult time. It's a very time where you're trying to understand what your community is, and on top of that, we're dealing with a very unprecedented state mandate with the unprecedented COVID-19, and we understand the business communities are facing financial hardships. And you know, I think that for us, it's very important that we are approaching each one of those businesses with that in mind. And I have to tell you, with this enhanced program that we are providing, you know, we've had some really good opportunities to gain compliant businesses through that one-on-one and through those right sizing. So that is very exclusive to us, and it's been very, very exciting to see in this last quarter that commitment to really gaining that environmental stewardship and that compliance and adding that component of the reporting to our businesses. So I'll go ahead and keep going. So again, kind of going back to our last slide, I'll move right through this one. So I think for us, and one of the things that I will continue to drive, is we really need to understand what our business community is. That doesn't just mean that you just run your business license list and that's what your business is. No. The important thing with SB 1383, with AB 341, with AB 1827, with 1826, is that we really need to understand what our cities, our towns, our special districts have within our cities. What does that mean? Who are our backhaulers? Who are our people who are naturally championing zero waste in their businesses? And that's what we mean by identifying those business types. And are they really are they really being able to be captured as exempt businesses, which I'll talk about a little bit later, because I heard the comment from during public comment about finding different ways to do that. And I think there is already a tool. I think what needs to happen is that we just need to embrace it and comprehensively look at that component of it. And again, I think one of the wonderful things that we do here at Vertec is to really customize recycling programs, right? So what we're finding is that with those waste assessments, we're really able to provide, you know, I know that a lot of our communities out here have been built out for quite some time. And so space and enclosures may or may not present some challenges. However, with that said, we've been able to build those relationships with the businesses and really try to find a safe and allowable place to offer maybe a bin or barrel, or to identify, well, you are really taking your recyclables to a recycle center. Save your receipts. Let's go ahead and encompass that. And one of the big things that's a part of SB 1383 that I really champion everybody to remain within that calm, that the first 2 years of SB 1383 is really where we need to drive the message of public education. We want to make sure that our communities really understand understand what that means. What does it really mean to recycle? And what does it really mean to, you know, scoop what you will eat, or, you know, buy what you will make, and reduce that throwing? So we're really looking at intuitive public education campaigns and advertisement and creative brochures that are really tailored to each one of those business communities. And last but not least, we have this enhanced program that a lot of you have, we've had the opportunity to have individual conversations on, which is that quality outreach. Since at the top of my head, I'm going to use City of Palm Desert. We recently added an organics program to Little Caesars Pizza, and it was so outstanding to see their progress, their acceptance of the program, their eagerness to train their staff. And within a week's time, they were exclusively participating in the program, really doing a really good job of creating the food only in the barrel programs. And they've increased their services significantly within the last week. So how did that come about? Well, that came about from visiting the business, providing the outreach, providing the follow-up, providing the training, providing the tools, providing the reasons why, where is it going? And that is what I'm talking about with quality outreach. So the We'll Take Care of It, you know, as I've mentioned, we know we have our bin services, we have our barrel services, we have exclusive to who we are in the Coachella Valley, we have industrial hospitality and special events. It's been wonderful to become acclimated and become familiar with the tennis match out here. I'm not a tennis player, but maybe I'll pick up a racket or two sometime. But I do golf, not very good, but I do. So it's been very wonderful to see Coachella Music Festival take on a very enhanced approach to adding sustainability and being a zero waste event, which we'd have had the opportunity with Mike and the team here to really encompass what that means. And so as we look at 2021, as we look at the years coming forward, we're really looking to even, you know, one couple more notches up and really redefining what special events means for us here in Birtec and as a region jurisdictionally locally. So what that says, what's, you know, who's our team? Well, I think a lot of us know here, we have our district environmental coordinators who, if you don't know, they've been hitting the ground running, boots are on the ground. They're visiting the businesses, you know, within the realm of being safe and socially distanced. I'm very excited to announce that since that September, we wanted to make sure that we continued to provide a good faith effort and that we were doing everything that we could to ensure that we were providing modified approach. And so with that, we thought, well, hey, why don't we offer virtual site visits? Why don't we offer virtual meetings? And we haven't had a lot of takers on those, but it is something that we're offering. It's something that's, you know, that we thought was beneficial so that we can continue the momentum with the outreach. We've also enhanced our compliance models in our outreach summaries, which has been outstanding. We're going to find that fruitful when that EAR time comes, which I know all of us here enjoy putting those together and submitting them. And then the other thing that's coming down the pike is, again, with SB 1383, educating our communities is going to be significant. And what that means is that we're ramping up. We have coming spring 2021, some enhanced social media, public education outreach, public service announcements, campaigns that we're creating and that we're creating in a way that's special to the needs that we have here. So I've been doing some analysis over the last few months on each one of the jurisdictions. I've been driving by, getting lost in some of the communities, really understanding where, you know, some of the areas in our communities really may need a different kind of tailored piece, getting to know the HOAs, getting to know the strip malls, behind the strip malls, where, you know, we need to identify some different approach to that. So there's that one. And again, I'm going to drive this because it is so important to our region. It is exclusive to our region. We have somewhere that's local, which benefits us when we're talking, where is our composting going? What are we doing with it? And as many of you know, with SB 1383, there's different components that jurisdictions have to incorporate into their ordinances, into their recycling programs. And for us to have Coachella Valley composting, it's very unique. So we have the festival, who's been a great partner with us. This is actually a live shot here of the gatherings of a two-day weekend for the Coachella Valley. And then that's a live shot of what that beautiful composting looks like. So for us, again, we don't need a fret. We have a composting facility here that's unique to us. It's local, and it's a wonderful addition to kind of soothe in our implementation efforts on where it's going to go. I know in a lot of jurisdictions throughout the state, that remains one of the items that's a topic of interest. And luckily for us, we have one here. So with that said, that's part of the presentation. We'd love to hear from you. My name is Clara Vera. And again, I'll close up with a couple of things. SB 1383 is around the corner in a lot of different facets. It does enact in January of 2022. We do have plans in place to ensure that we will be ready for 2022. And with that said, I want to just kind of just drop a message that throughout the state of California, this exclusive situation that we're in is not just exclusive to us. We have several many counties throughout the state of California that are in this same position right now. They're building plans, they're rolling out different programs, identifying what that means. And this is kind of similar to when AB 341 and 1826 came in, and it was very new to a lot of us in the state of California. I know our folks up in Northern California have a different approach to recycling and organics, and we're happy to implement those, but it's got to be right and it has to be done right. And I think that's what's special for us here at Burtech to our jurisdictions, is that we're not just dropping off barrels and bins. We're ensuring that people are educated and that we have a plan in place to meet those goals by 2022. So I urge everybody to download the CalRecycle timeline, put it on your monitors, put it in a frame, and rest assured we have those plans in place. We are doing enhanced outreach services to our businesses. They're proving to be fruitful even in these unprecedented times. And I think one of the things that will come up later is, I think a visit from, I was very fortunate to be at the WRCOG meeting where we had OC Waste Not, which is a dynamic food recovery and donation agency who provides a comprehensive approach to a region and collecting and all of that. So I think for us here at Burtech, we're at the phase one of edible food recovery. And again, for me, it's important to understand what businesses are really capable of donating in your cities. Who are they? What can they really donate? And what does that mean for us when we're trying to build a program? We can't build a program if we don't understand what each one of our jurisdictions can offer to that comprehensive program. I think one of the things that myself as Burtech and CVAG and the jurisdictions should look at is a unified public education message that would go across the Coachella Valley region. And correct me if that's not the term that I should be using. So I will just say the desert region. I think it is extremely important that we add that to our timeline here in our minutes, so that the message as myself, let's say I live in Palm Springs and I want to visit Jensen's Fine Foods. And then from there, I want to go visit the wonderful peaks in La Quinta. And then I'm going to go and visit Agua Caliente in Cathedral City. And then I'm going to end up at the Coachella Music Festival. And then I'm going to go downtown Indio. And what I'm getting to is that the message that we drive on our billboards, the message that we drive on our public transportation, that campaign that we're currently forming right now, that is one thing that I would ask CBAG that we do join forces and that we do unify that message so that residents, businesses together alike hear the same message and it's easy to implement. So with that said, I'm here with Mike. I have a bunch of cupcakes. I'm trying to watch my cholesterol. So anybody's welcome to come and have a cupcake so that we don't have to food waste. So with that said, it's been a pleasure to speak to you. I'm happy to answer any questions and continue this this full force on 2021 and how we will be ready for when we're supposed to be ready in 2022. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I guess, Benjamin, do you want to go ahead and move on to the used oil program update, and then we can circle back to item A at the end?
Yeah, that's fine. Mine's pretty brief, actually. I just wanted to say that the used oil program and the tire recycling program are still moving forward. Despite COVID, we're setting up collection events in each of your cities. We'll send out a calendar once we get, well, we have a calendar for the used oil I can send out. We're working on the tire recycling, but both of those programs are still moving forward. Just letting you know, in case you get any residents asking when the next, you know, events are or anything, you can just direct them to me, and then I'll be happy to help them.
And Cathedral City is still hosting our weekly tires, electronics, syringes, and unwanted medications. We just set it up differently. And we're still, even though we went into another lockdown this week, we're still going to do shredding on Saturday.
Okay.
There's priorities in this community, and shredding is one of them.
Shredding.
But we do. We have it set up, so there's no interaction. So, yeah, we have the tires. If they call, we still have our tires, too.
Perfect.
Okay. Then let's go ahead and go back to item number A for the election of working groups chair and vice chair for fiscal year 2021.
Yeah, so even though I think this is going to, we're going to take this committee back to like the working group format, it's still nice to have a chair to kind of run the meeting and a vice chair. So we'll probably continue doing that. At this time, Heather has been so gracious to be our president and vice chair, our chair, and Sarah's been our vice chair. Do we have any nominations for this following year, this next year, to continue running those meetings?
I'm good with that layout if they are. Or Palm Springs. I mean, he's reading the letters that come from the state. So it'd be actually nice if he could be the chair or the vice chair too.
Yeah. I'm happy to do whatever you want.
So is that a motion for Patrick or Palm Springs to be the chair this time and then what, Palm Desert to be vice chair?
Or Heather chair, vice, because Sarah's not here, right?
Here today.
Not that she'd cry, but maybe Palm Springs for vice.
Okay. So
that would be my recommendation.
Okay.
So Heather for chair and Palm Springs for vice chair.
Okay. Do we have any opposed to that motion? Heather, you're good with that?
I'm okay with
it's that. Like you're gonna say no right now.
Okay. Right, there was only one. There was only really one meeting.
I know.
Right. So much.
So it's so much work. It's just so difficult. All right. Cool. Thank you. Then that will. Then we'll move forward with the same. Well, with that nomination or that that motion, unanimously, I guess. So, then we go back to the minutes now.
Okay. Yeah, all right, and then let's go ahead and approve the minutes from, can we do them both at the same time? October 28th, 2019 and October 26th, 2020 meetings?
I think they need to be done separately.
Okay, so we'll start with the approve of the working group meeting minutes from October 28th, 2019.
Do we have a motion?
I can't do the motion because I wasn't in attendance.
Okay.
Doesn't look like, okay. Yeah, I can't do that on this one.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Any second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. And then with that, do we have any opposed?
No.
Okay. Motion carries.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to the approval of the working group meeting minutes from October 26, 2020.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, Ranch Mirage seconds. Any opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. We probably, and if the executive does approve that we take these back to like working groups, then we will not no longer need to do minutes or approval of minutes or anything like that. So just so you know, we're doing this just because the last couple of meetings, I guess it was set up that way, and we're going to follow procedure and all that good stuff. Good old Brown Act.
Okay, so I guess we'll move on back to discussion action item E for discussion of future agenda topics.
Well, I know we already have the Find Food Bank for the next meeting. We'll work on that. And then as you had indicated, Heather, that Sarah said to talk about the Cal Recycle mandates, bundled rates and carts for the next meeting. We'll bring that forward. That was all I had. Anything, any other topics anybody can think of or want to keep this 1383 going?
Yeah, 1383. And then I would like to continue the conversation about, we talked about it in our last meeting and also Clara mentioned it today about having a group message. So we're all, you know, implementing it in kind of a similar way about 1383. I know we all have slightly different programs, but overall the requirements will be the same. So I do think it would be nice to coordinate and or maybe pool some funds and do some regional advertising.
See you.
I think along that line, I think there's probably an extension of that conversation around additional training and resources. So that could be shared regionally because, for example, I went to a really great food waste reduction workshop that was put on by the Palm Springs Visitors Bureau or Hospitality Association, sorry. It was really good, but there weren't a lot of people there. So I think doing it more regionally based, something like that would really be helpful as well. So as we think about outreach and education, I think we should also think about training and engagement, other sort of opportunities like that that can be region wide.
I think it's a great idea.
Perfect.
Great.
And is it possible to ask Clara a question?
Do that. Actually, I was going to ask if anybody wanted to have more of a discussion on the 1383 now that we're done with the presentation.
Yeah.
So go for it, Patrick.
Okay. Hi, Clara. So I guess I had a question for you. We don't use Burtech on the front end. We use them on the back end. So, well, whatever.
Yeah.
The question
it's my birthday. You, so yeah, I could have a little fun. I was trying to have a cupcake. That's why I was on the screen.
Right. Well, you continue on. So I guess the question that I have is I've been getting some kind of mixed feedback about what's acceptable in those, the waste bins. And so when you showed your picture, I saw palm waste, I saw food waste, I saw other waste. So that was a lot of waste. And so I guess I just wanted to get a little bit more clarity about what's acceptable in those bins. And as a related question, kind of what the role of plastic bags is playing in that process, because the incentive that we're trying to provide to some of our restaurants is that, yeah, you can go ahead and use a plastic bag and put that plastic bag inside your bin. So they'll have like stacks of plastic bags for each day. that end up, eventually I think they go to you. So anyway, so I'm just curious about those two things, kind of what goes in and then the roll of plastic bags in the process.
So absolutely. So I think in general, plastic bags, because there's no real regulation at a national level with the resin materials that's created in plastic bags. So let me just give you a general example. So Target's plastic bags are different than Ralph's plastic bags. And Ralph's plastic bags are different than Jensen's plastic bags.
And I'm sorry, before you go on. I'm only talking about the use of plastic bag, trash bags, to collect the green waste that goes into the green waste bins.
Yes, so I'm getting there.
Okay, all right, sorry.
So the ultimate goal is to not bag your food waste. The ultimate goal for recycling is to not bag your recyclables. However, there's a lot of different things that are not exclusive to this region. There's high winds, there's people who don't want things to be, you know, people coming through their neighborhoods, you know, going through their shredding. So there's a multitude of different things. However, for in general, the most part, because we don't have a unified approach to plastic and the resins and the composites and what that means, the safer bet is to not bag your food waste. It just isn't. Now, if you need to, then obviously that adds an additional layer when it comes into our processing center that causes us to increase staff, to increase the sorting, to increase having to manually manipulate that. So in general, with any recycling streams, you want to reduce the opportunity to champion people to bag their food waste. So inevitably, I know that a lot of business restaurant communities, you know, they don't want the food sitting there. They don't want people, you know, bagging through the stuff. So that's where we have to champion making sure that they're right sized. Are we picking it enough times so that the food is not sitting there and we can retrieve it to reduce whatever, you know, common factor that is. So in general, our recycled items should not be bagged. They should not be lined. They should be directly placed into the barreled container. And so a robust organic program where let's say one of our district environmental coordinators will go out to the business and champion that kind of conversation, that kind of training, to where we are collecting the material in its purest, rawest form. And so, yes, you are correct. You did see some palm fronds on there. Those are fibrous, and that's why in our Caribbean tropical regions, they use them as a mechanism for housing because they are so fibrous and they create a different avenue to be used. But that is one of those things that with public education, we're going to continue to drive the messages because those cannot be broken down. So yes, that's just one of the things that, you know, we try to aim for the most outreach. And again, it really comes down to the person who's ultimately taking care of the stream at the source, at the point, right? So I know that Coachella Valley this last year, and Mike, you shared some wonderful feedback about that. You know, they had dozens of volunteers there. And again, the programs are only as good as the behavior that's coming from the individual. And so with that said, driving those educational campaigns, driving that message is really what's going to be the core in how we make sure that people are diverting correctly. And so I heard one of your other echoes, Patrick, in regards to the training and getting people to do that. Ironically enough, a lot of businesses want to do the right thing. They just don't have the resources and they don't have the tools. And so that's one of the things that we identified early on in my arrival here is the communities and their need. So we are building toolkits for not only our staff to use, but we're also building toolkits specific to the business community to ensure that they have the items within their staff. What is a toolkit? We're talking about stickers. We're talking about posters. We're talking about one-to-one staff trainings. And so that is what the toolkit is. Posters, fact sheets, flyers, stickers, direct one-on-one training, ongoing training as part of the enhanced outreach programs that we're doing. We're not only just visiting once to get the container there, we're visiting one, two, three, four times to make ensure that we capture the different shifts. I mean, there's so many modifications happening right now with our business, restaurant business communities that, you know, a lot of them have had to have modified schedules, and they'll ask, can you come back and can we do a shift early in the morning? Can we do that? And I think that's where we're capturing the fruitful behavior of correctly placing the items into the bin. So I hope that answered your question and kind of give you some insight on, you know, on the program and maybe offer that support. And, you know, we'd be happy to share wherever possible what those toolkits look like. And, you know, maybe on the next one, I'll share some case studies about some local restaurants that have really embraced the program and really disposing of only the raw material inside those barrels.
Yeah, that would be super helpful, I think, because
I have to charge you though, Patrick.
Okay, well, I'll give you a dollar and a cupcake.
You got coffee's fine. Coffee's fine.
Hi, Clara. I have a follow-up question to that because I have received, I have to say, probably about as many different answers as the many different people I've asked about this. And what you just told me was different from literally the last time I asked. So food waste, what you're saying today is it to not be bagged.
Right. So correct? Ultimately all recycle. And let me take a few steps back. The last time our federal government did a recycling initiative was, I think, 1973-2. So nationally, our messaging has changed. Nationally, internationally, with the China ban sword, that has also changed. And so because recycling is such a dynamic industry, and because it's constantly changing on a multitude of factors, you're talking about corporations reducing their costs, changing the way that they perceive the intake of the components that they're packaging their materials with, even in the food waste, the composting industry, that's going to continue to change as technology continues to evolve. And so with that said, everybody can say that their bags are compostable, but I'll tell you what, until you get to that mountain of fruitful end product, it's just really not the case. So it will continue to be that way until we can get a national a message that we need a standard, right? And we don't have a standard. And so when you may ask, you know, why does it continue to change? Well, the industry continues to change and the product continues to change. And, you know, I think in any supermarket, you know, you go to Target or whatever that may be, you know, there's like five different brands all saying that their stuff breaks down. Well, the reality of that is that it doesn't. Maybe one of the five breaks down. And we so
really understand that. I don't think that's what we're saying. What we're saying is, or at least what I am saying is, we want to know what you are actually doing with it. So we understand that most of them are not compostable. So if you're just seeing a bag and you're trashing it and counting it as a contamination, I think we all want to know that so we can give the appropriate message to those end users. And make sure we're being consistent, because I like I said, I've asked very recently and received the opposite answer. So, and if things do change in the future, we would like to have some sort of an automatic notification as, hey, we have identified this compostable bag. You can now update your training to people to say, include, you know, do that. We would love to get automatic updates for exactly these changes to make sure that we're telling people the right thing. Because I think it's pretty embarrassing for me to talk to businesses and members of the public to tell them. The palm fronds is another great one. I have received so many different answers and I'm telling residents, don't do it. And then, you know, someone from Vertex says, oh, no, it's fine. And then I'm like, do it. And then they're like, no, don't do it. And it's so embarrassing. I feel like I don't know what I'm talking about. And then I'm so unclear as to whether that's counting in our contamination numbers, which is then what I'm going to tell them why the rates are going to be increasing later. So I would love to be able to get to the bottom of this and get a straight answer. And if it changes, we all totally get that. But if we could have some sort of a regular update, you know, hey, here, we're no longer accepting palm fronds because they become problematic. That would be so fabulous. Or, you know, we are because we've determined that we can do them and we're going to separate them and we got space for them now, you know, whatever. But we would love to have those sorts of updates so we can make sure we're giving accurate information, because otherwise I feel ridiculous talking to people.
No, absolutely. So I hear what you guys are saying. Luckily for us, it's one of the things that we're enhancing. And again, until we can get at a federal level, what that standardization is, it's going to continue to change. So we have to be able to embrace that. And I'd be happy to kick out those automatic messages. I think for now, what the message is we want to make sure that we can break down whatever that is. And because we're not in the business of monitoring the compostable bag makers, you know, that's not even monitored at a state level. That's not even monitored at a federal level. And so until we can get that buy-in from the EPA, those are things that will continue to change. So I think the standard is right now is that we take the items in raw form, and I will absolutely take that back. And when those items change, you know, we'll make sure to send out a message so that we can, you know, continue to implement that new facet as it comes.
And not just like, not just the plastic bags, but I've run into this problem even with what's acceptable in the gray bin. So I'm trying to update my marketing pieces, and I've run into that with Burtek as well, where my list doesn't match one of their lists, but then it ends up being wrong. So if anything, if it changes, if I can get an update on a regular basis that says, this is our recycling list, this is what's acceptable, that would be really helpful to make sure that my marketing pieces are correct. And so I don't get called out for. Just any kind of, that would be great. Any kind of updating outreach that we could get, that would be really helpful on a regular basis, that you're no longer doing the oil or you're no longer doing this, then I can, that would be really helpful, really helpful.
Sure. So I think part of that enhanced, you know, communication with what is and what is not. I mean, you can look at some of our, it's through the state. So it's not exclusive. Your questions that you're asking right now are not exclusive to what is happening here. So rest and behold that this is a statewide problem, because there's no control mechanism, right? There's nobody saying that plastics 1 through 6 are really not recyclable, but they really are. And our nearest facility that's taking those plastics 1 through whatever that is in Wisconsin.
You guys are the first to know, right?
Right. And
you're
so
the first to know that there's changes to.
So there, the right. Plastic. So I think the enhancement in that communication, if there is a change in your recycling streams or so there's two recycling streams right now. There's the wet and then there's the dry. So absolutely, we'll go ahead and take that back. So for now, really for organics, we want to make sure that the material is in its raw form and it's going straight into the barrel.
And if it helps with the broadcasting those updates when you get them, Clara, you can send them through CVAG and I'll disperse them to the group. It might be an easier way to do that than you having to contact everybody.
That's wonderful.
It makes it easier, is all I'm saying.
Yes.
And then I had a quick little question too, is would Burtek prefer garbage disposal or full recycle to the bin for food?
Garbage, clarify that.
Easier, yeah, would it be easier putting food in the garbage disposal or putting it into the bin?
So here's what I'll say to that. We want to make sure we're scoop what we're eating.
Ooh, what?
So we want to make sure that we're not wasting food. So I think the message is we really shouldn't even be having that kind of conversation. We should be having the conversation on how do I mindfully prepare my family to prepare a meal that I don't have to think about what I'm going to do with that. So part of the implementation that we're working on for 2021 is going to be to have that mixed organic barrel. So no, your food scraps would not go into your trash bin. They would go into your organics barrel.
Okay.
Have food scraps, then, you know, I think the recommendation for 2021 is to encourage people to start thinking about maybe home composting and your eggshells and your banana peels and your coffee grounds. I think that's part of the winter efforts, is to gently start to introduce people on that behavioral change so that we can drive them to the major change that's going to happen in 2022.
As soon as I can get my partner to stop throwing plastic bags in the recycling, then I'll move on to mindful food preparation.
Okay. And see, and Patrick, I'm glad that you brought that up, because, you know, I think the state message is a wonderful initiative. I think that as environmental stewards of where we live, where we work, and where we play, it is absolutely the right thing to do. However, in our regions, we have to make sure that those programs meet the needs of each one of our communities. And what that means is, you guys are absolutely right. Without the support at a national level or even at a state level, I mean, when I really would like to champion the state to do a state campaign. How about we start there, so that at a state level, the messaging is easier for us to deliver at a local level? And so that's one of those things that we should be driving that change. So the reality of it is that we can't just automatically drop off a bin, because we really need to get people to understand what exactly we need them to do at their recycling container at the dry level, right? So in order to get them to recycle at the organics level correctly, there's really a lot of educational work that has to be done. And that's where we really take in abreast of what SB 1383 is, and really start to redefine that behavioral, that societal change in what we need them to do. So kudos to you, Patrick, to everybody on here. The questions are absolutely necessary. It is a very critical time in our region. And, you know, again, as I see on the billboards when I'm driving in on the 10, you know, we are better together. And as long as we can, you know, have that fluctuation in that, and when those changes come and we all deliver those messages, I absolutely 100% agree. So fortunate for us, our facilities are continuing to take on the same products that we have. I haven't heard any otherwise. I will make sure to take that back and touch base with those facilities so that I can have a one-to-one on the communications and make sure that I deliver those to you. But for now, we want to make sure that we take things back to the basics, right? And that's really create the organic material at its raw form.
Hey, Clara, this is Doug. I got a quick question for you. So you're out there on the streets with the businesses. We take a lot of calls from businesses, and it's very clear that from a local government perspective that we're just as confused, unfortunately, as our peers are at the county and state level sometimes when it comes to these new recycling regs. And SB 1383 is a bit of a beast. You're talking about doing a outreach campaign for education, and I'm curious to know genuinely, based on your pulse for the local businesses here in the Valley, would we be starting from the ground up, or are some of these businesses at least aware of what SB 1383 is? Are they aware of the incoming regulations that they're going to be impacted with?
I want everybody to brace yourselves. I have become acclimated with Highway 111, Date Palm, Monterey, Cook, Washington, Jefferson. I have taken the personal approach that in order for us to build a campaign that regionally is going to make a significant impact and individually for each jurisdiction is going to make an impact, I had to drive. I've been driving through the neighborhoods for the last 3 months on my way in from work, on my way out from work, while I'm at lunch, while I'm out there, so that I can understand where each one of our jurisdictions is at. So I think at this point, to be very candid and open, as this is a very dynamic time, and I am extremely humbled to be on this conversation and look to the next decade on what that means for us. We are looking at a ground up campaign. We are looking at kind of just redefining what the behavioral change needs to be to prepare people for SB 1383. And so, you know, I would be a little bit surprised that there was a lot of businesses who were eager, who wanted to, who are ready. Obviously their number one, concern is cost and staff and pandemic impact to their businesses. That is always the number one conversation. But with the strategic outreach that we're doing, you know, that second or third conversation has granted that opportunity to know, oh, this is what we do. And they're joining and they're asking the questions. And so I don't think that we're quite at the ground level. I think the region has done an outstanding job. I think all of us are familiar with the virtual site visits that took place. I got to tell you, there was a couple days where it was sometimes hard to find some contamination, and you know, maybe we weren't in the right area on the right day, or so you know, there is a lot of goodwill happening out there, and there is a lot of businesses who want to do the right things. So I think that's what we're looking at as far as the public education campaign, public relations campaign on what that means and how we redefine that. The challenge for us is going to be is that we have a lot of seasonal friends and family that come and join us throughout the year. And how do we redefine that message? And how do we hold those businesses accountable? And how do we hold those property owners accountable so that when their guests come in from out of town, when they're here doing the Airbnbs, right? When you know, as a business owner, you're taking on the approach that you're a business owner. So part of SB 1383 is that you provide that education to whoever's staying in your home, right? So I think that's one of the things that we ultimately last month were kind of revisiting as we build those, because we do have a very special region here, and we are a tourism region where we have people coming in and out, and you're talking about people who aren't from the area and whose bins are used to being a different color in a different state. And, or maybe they don't, I mean, believe it or not, there's some states that still don't recycle. During this pandemic, there were states, there were local jurisdictions that decided to stop the recycling. And so you're talking about a full faceted dynamic individual who's coming into town who may or may not be familiar with it. And so that's the level of campaigning that we're building right now is to provide those toolkits for people who are visiting, who are long-term residents, and so that we make sure that we're hitting them both.
Thanks for bringing up the scariest topic of short-term vacation rental and Airbnb right now. Let's not worry about that. But you don't even know the Pandora's box that is.
I know when she said that, I'm like, please don't say those words.
Yeah.
Please don't
say those words. But I just want to ask, so to better understand what you're saying, when you say ground up, are we talking also with Costco's and Walmart's and things? Because before we blink, it's going to be 2021. And I believe that they have to, as a tier one sort of food generator and all that, be in compliance by 2022, right? So we have less than a year, essentially, to get a pretty constructive education campaign underway. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. So tier one is pretty much those are all the ones that we've identified. And so you'd be pleasantly surprised at your Costco's, your Stater Brothers. And I think that's where I really, really hone in, that I understand that there's initiative. I am 100% behind every single one of our state legislations. I truly embrace them. But in order for us to build a program that really redefines the way that our region will be looked at I'm looking at it from a global scale. How do people look at the desert region, and how are they doing it, and how are they able to redefine that message? So tier one is really where we've been at. So we already know what those back callers are, who there are. I think the opportunity opportunity for us is to really understand how much of that material is being taken to the distribution center, what material is taken to the distribution center, right? And I think that's where we're at. We're not really at the ground level on the tier one, and tier two is really your smaller mom and pop, you know, organizations. And that really comes down at 2024. So yeah, so that, like I said, you'd be pleasantly surprised. I've had conversations with the Costco people, your Stater Brothers people, and these are people who have had to be reporting on those items at a state level because of other factors. And it's just a win-win on how they transfer that over to SB 1383 and providing that information to our local jurisdictions.
Believe it or not, that actually makes me feel a little bit better. So good to hear.
Well, I'm glad.
I got to run to another call, so I will see you guys.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks. Good meeting you.
Any more I'll take, I'll have to have a salami sandwich.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion of future agenda topics? Okay. Great. I don't believe there's any members of the public on this call, so I don't need to read the public comments for non-agenda items, right? Okay.
No, you think you're good.
And then we're on to announcements.
Yeah, it's just our next meeting will be a to be determined kind of thing. Don't have an exact date pinned down, but we'll shoot for probably February, March-ish to keep this topic hot and going. So, We'll send out the notices once we get the date determined, but we'll likely keep it Zoom and 9:30 on, I think Mondays are the best still. So we'll keep that. Okay.
Sounds great.
Sounds great.
Cool.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Good job, Clara. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Clara. Thank you.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.